All right, if you have your Bibles, please open them up. Go to the book that we call 1 Corinthians. We're continuing to go through the Bible. Does anybody need a Bible? All right, great. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. We're going to start up actually at the end of chapter 12 at verse 31, and we'll jump into this. Please stand with me if you're able to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start reading from the last verse, which is verse 31, and we'll go into chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." 13, verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." Please pray for me. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we ask, Lord, can you please open up the understanding of your holy word? Help us to know your word better. Help us, Lord, as we see, that we would read and understand and apply these things, serving you in the various ways that we may. Help us, Lord, to understand this passage. Help us to see these spiritual gifts that we've been studying about for weeks and how they go into play and how we're to walk them out. But we need your empowerment. So we ask, Father, can you please empower us mightily through your spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. Here's what Erwin Lutzer said. "Love is higher than the other gifts in value. Love is the one gift open to every member of the church. It is not dependent on ability, popularity, or shrewdness. The greatest path is open to the least of travelers." Again, Erwin Lutzer. Interesting story, I got to quickly tell you as we open here. Now, we're going to learn about God's love, as we see here in chapter 13. My family and I, we drove back into the city yesterday evening, and it was nice to be upstate. Anybody ever go upstate a little bit? You get out, you get, oh. In the morning time, we heard babbling brooks, birds in the air, beautiful trees everywhere. Great, rich oxygen. The air just feels different up in the mountains. Really nice. So we drove back into the city. Got to be welcomed by horn honking. And I'm like, oh, now I know I'm back in the city. Has that happened to any of you guys? You go out of the city, you come back, it's like, welcome to New York City. Now, New Yorkers, it reminded me that New Yorkers don't seem, in general, New Yorkers don't seem to be good at what? Patience. So we're going to learn more about patience here, love being patient, and I just was reminded in a sort of rude awakening kind of way that it's something that New Yorkers and some of us, even as New York Christians, that we can lack. Myself, I can lack at times. While we see today, as we go through this, I want us to see the context of the text. That's really, really important because we're going to look at least a little bit of the 1 Corinthians 13 passage. In this chapter, is known as the love chapter. Anybody remember that? Like you go to a wedding, you always hear 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it's this nice, neat little list that we all want to dream about, aspire to, pray for. But it gets to be challenging. But I want you and I to see the context. So chapter 12, Paul's getting into what's called spiritual gifts. We're told in that chapter not to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. We're told what the gifts are, at least some of them. We're told also, hey, although God might give you an individual, little creative way of having a gift and using the gift, and it's God that will cause the outcome, look at the bigger picture, not just the individual specific gift or calling that you have, but the bigger picture. What's that? The body of Christ. That we are given gifts, we need to serve one another with these gifts and stay unified in the body of Christ. Amen? And now after teaching us that in chapter 12, Paul ends the chapter, as we read here, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I still show you a more excellent way. What's that excellent way, that more excellent way? We might say the more excellent way of agape. Agape is a Greek word that's used here in this chapter for love. A different kind of love than we're used to. Definitely a different love than New Yorkers are used to. And notice as he opens up chapter 13 here, again, just looking at the context, the flow of this, before we get into what many people, I think, erroneously call a definition of love. That's in verse 4 and on. We just got to look at the opening here. Notice as he opens this chapter, and we read this in verses 1 to 3, and I'm going to splash this on the display too. I color-coded this. Hey, we could speak with tongues. We might say tongues of men, those are human languages, and of angels, there's angelic languages. So if someone has the gift of tongues, so to speak, we might say that there's these kinds of languages. Earthly language, I'm going to get that fly. Earthly languages and angelic languages. But guess what? Doesn't matter. It says that if we do have that, but we have not love, what are we now? I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2 mentions, I could have the gift of prophecy. We could have that. We could understand all the mysteries, the deep inner truths of God, how he works, and the spiritual things. We could have all knowledge. We could have faith, so we could remove mountains. Imagine that. I don't think anybody's done that today. Any of you guys wake up and you say, mountain, go there. I want that in the south, not in the north. We haven't done that today. If so, we would hear about that. You know why? Because the news would come out and start interviewing you. But that hasn't happened. If you did, but you don't have love, notice what he says in verse 2. He says, I am nothing. And then verse 3, we could bestow all my goods to feed the poor. I could do a lot of good external works. And though I give my body to be burned, hey, I could be self-sacrificial even to that point. But I have not love. Notice it says, it profits me nothing. Now that's interesting. We can give, we can go, we can sacrificially do these things, but if we're not doing it with the agape love of God, notice as you put this list together in verses 1, 2, and 3, even serving God with spiritual gifts in the local church, but not with love, we have nothing, we are nothing, and it profits us nothing. Wow. You look at that and you think, okay, might as well not do it. But no, it goes on. And this is where we come to this famous and familiar passage I'm going to splash on the display, verses 4 and on. Again, any of you guys remember seeing this like in a list of God's love? Like, God's love is this. Please know this is not a fully complete theological definition of the agape love of God. It is not. It does fit the context and flow that God is using Paul to write about to the Corinthian church, hey, if you're going to serve God publicly, use spiritual gifts. And remember the bigger picture, the unity of the body, but as you serve God in your local church using spiritual gifts, remember to do it with what? Love. Because if you don't do it that way, you have nothing, you are nothing, and it profits you nothing. Oh, okay, so I have to do these things with spiritual gifts. So chapter 12, and we went through that for some weeks in this church. Went through it for a long time to drill it in. These are spiritual gifts, and we need to exercise it with love. Let's just read this list. You've heard this before. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So that's chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. We might say A, the first phrase. So notice, though, that this is, again, this is not a full theological definition of the agape love of God. We're not going to get into it now, but just if you're taking notes, you can go and read and study 1 John chapter 4, which you get great doctrine telling you and teaching you more about God's agape love. Okay, we won't get into that now because we're in this book. But now if we start taking these things, these words, and I did the homework so you don't have to, about love suffers long. I have it on the display here. I color-coded it too for you here. Hopefully some of you guys can see. Hopefully it's big enough here. We'll put the slides up on the website later on for you too. Love suffers long. So suffers long, that also speaks of patience. And I know some of you are thinking, okay, when I'm stuck in traffic, when I'm at BJ's or Costco waiting in line, then I have to be patient and I'm suffering long. Okay, that's maybe an okay illustration of this. But again, the context is you're serving God with spiritual gifts. You need to be what? Patient. Now look at the context again. Who is Paul teaching and writing this to? He's writing to the church, so not non-Christians. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth, they were not being loving. And that's the context, so we have to see this. Now, how about this love? What kind of love is this? How do you characterize this kind of love when you're serving God, even with spiritual gifts, whether it's the church at Corinth or us, you and me today? Hey, suffering long. It also speaks of being slow to anger. Now, think of this, Christian, as you're serving God. We all want to serve God, right? As you're serving God, even with spiritual gifts, I don't know about you, but this checks my heart, my spirit within. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's someone here. Am I being slow to anger? That's the kind of patience this is speaking of. Okay? Not the kind of patience that you're just waiting in line. You go to Trader Joe's, like, it's a nice store. I know the line moves fast, but there's like 50 people in line. A lot of people, I see them in the store, they come in, they see the line, they go right out. Why? Because they don't have this kind of patience. It's not speaking about that patience. It's speaking about patience that when you're loving people in the name of Jesus, serving them, and maybe they had a bad day. Maybe it's here today. Someone comes in, they're upset, they had a bad day, they start biting at you. Sheep bite, right? That can happen. So am I going to be slow to anger, or am I going to be quick to be angry? Now that speaks to me, because I'm not perfect. If you know me, my wife could tell you too, I'm definitely not perfect, far from it. But this is how we need to serve God, amen? As we serve God by serving his people, he's going to allow the beautiful, loving pressures of what we call ministry and the accountability and discipleship that's there, it's going to bring up junk that's in your heart that before you got saved in the world, all of us were impatient. And again, it's not just speaking of standing in line or waiting in front of behind other cars. This speaks of patience with other people, right? You get it? You see the context now? Am I being patient with other people as I'm serving them? That's this kind of love. Now, God is this way. Look at this, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Have any of you found that God is this way with you? That God is patient like this? He's slow to anger? I know myself in my own stupid life and the decades I wasted of time. I used to sometimes think, God, why didn't you just take your finger and smash me like a bug? Like I've done, like with ants on the concrete. Like, wasn't I just worthless? Didn't I give you just a mega headache? I know you're God, but didn't I really just mess with you? That's kind of how I felt I was. But no, he's not like that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And this is a characteristic, a facet of who God is. One of them, one of the many. And when it speaks about his being patient and this kind of agape love that flows from the Father through the Son Jesus into you and me and out through me, and you, to others, you're going to find that others are going to be patient. And this is a barometer, isn't it? I don't know about you. I get a check in my own spirit. All I got to do is I get in my car and I drive. And, I get like impatient. Is that any of you guys? And again, just driving into the city, it's like, oh, love, joy, peace. It's nice to get that when you see Bambi in the woods. And we're in a place like that. It's just beautiful. Even when it rained, the oxygen, the ozone being replenished. It's just so nice, refreshing. You come driving in the city. New Yorkers don't just honk the horn. What do they do, guys? They ride the horn like, I heard you 10 seconds ago. You can take your horn off, your hand off the horn. That's kind of how it is. Not just New York, but we're known for that. Anybody know that? We're known for that. I think New Yorkers need some of this. Salvation through Jesus Christ. So we're saved through Jesus Christ. We have His Spirit. And you might think of, like, even fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's agape, the same Greek word. And this agape, it's patient. It even says it there, doesn't it, in Galatians 5, 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Come on. Peace. What's next? Patience. Some interpretations will say suffers long or long suffering. Patience. So fruit of God's Spirit working through your life, what is He going to give you as personal fruit? Patience. Spiritual patience. Okay, again, not just patience waiting in line or waiting behind other cars or stuck in traffic. You'll be patient while serving people with this love of God. And sometimes you'll have to be like me, gritting your teeth, like, Lord, this person's real nasty, and I'm trying to respond to the flesh with your Spirit. And what does that cause a child of God to do? Cry out to God. Anybody know what I mean? Okay. But you get an opportunity to when you're serving God. If not, what happens is you're going to sit there and go, oh, patience, what's wrong with you? Maybe you come up to someone that's serving God. You don't know. They're going through spiritual warfare. They had to give extra time for the things of God. They had to get up earlier than you. They got all these things going on. And maybe you come into a church environment like, oh, you don't know what's going on in their life. So have grace with us as we have grace with one another. Amen? Okay. So that can happen. But nonetheless, we see that this kind of love, it suffers long. It's patient. We need to pray to God. So here's what happens, Christian, just to put it into application and the context, and how can you apply this? I put it here in green. Think of green like go, right? How do you apply this? God's going to reveal things within your heart. He's going to reveal what I will call healing issues while you serve Him. So these are some of the just many benefits, some of the many benefits that you get while serving God. What should you do then? Pray that God heals and ministers to you and matures you so that you can be slow to anger. Especially when you're serving God. You're going to go through way more spiritual warfare. Before I served God, I didn't know spiritual warfare. You know what my spiritual warfare was? Death to self. I didn't want to deny self. That's why Jesus says, you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Luke 9, 23. What's step one? Says deny self. Before serving God, I was just, what? It's all about me. I was serving myself. I wanted you to serve me. Right? But I had to get out of the taking line, get into the giving line. That's the line of Jesus. So I could pour out to people. So it says that love suffers long. So I need to be slow to anger. But I can only be that way empowered by Jesus Christ through His Spirit. That's the only way that we can be that way. So as you serve God, however you do it, there's many ways to serve. You can serve informally within a church environment here, which I think you should if this is your home church, because that's how you're going to learn and grow and mature. That's just the way of God. Everybody has a calling in the body of Christ, in the church. As you do, what will happen is through the loving pressures just of having to wake up in the morning, having to go to sleep earlier on Saturday night, having to wake up early Sunday morning, having to carve out time to get prepared before I come in, for all of us that do serve Him, what's going to happen is you're going to go through more. And that God's going to stretch you so that you grow. And you're going to find that, wow, I find out how impatient I am. Anybody realize that when you start walking with God, serving God, you start to realize how selfish you are? Yeah, any of you? I thought, oh, I've got this covered. I'm not selfish. And then Jesus says, love one another. Like, no, I'm fine just being by myself. I'll do Zoom fellowship, YouTube fellowship. Oh, love one another. I got to be with people then. You understand. I know you love me, but come on. These people, they got issues. He's like, yes, they do. And that's why I want you to be there with them, because you got issues that they're going to help heal, and they've got issues that you're going to help heal them too. Okay? So what will happen, guys, if you keep your eyes open to it, I fully believe this because I see this. I see this in myself, my wife Susan, and so many people. God's going to expose you to issues. You have to deal with them. Make sense? Amen? Heart healing issues that have been there. I've talked with pastors. They could be serving God publicly for decades. They still haven't gone through heart healing and some issues. And then what's even worse is they're bringing that to the pulpit, having to reconcile that with God. That's a challenge. Okay, and this could be all of us, including me. So we need to be slow to anger, but you can't do this in your strength. Okay, remember the context. For those of you, especially if you're serving God with spiritual gifts, as you serve Him, God's going to test your heart. He's going to reveal to you, man, I'm not patient. And then you cry out to Him, God, help me to be more like You. And now I see that You're very patient with me. And guess what happens with that child of God? That's how you grow and mature. That's the path. God's growth path. God's growth path for you. All right, on to the next word. He says, love suffers long or is patient or slow to anger. And now he says, is kind. Look at this word. I brought up the original word here too. This one's interesting. This one word, the Greek word, this is it here. I took a snapshot of my Bible study software so you can see it. To show oneself useful. Okay, it's middle voice. That means you do the action to yourself. You're kind. You're showing yourself useful. It's translated into English as kind. It kind of loses its flavor, though, in English. Kind. Act benevolently. Be kind. So God's going to use you as you serve people. And the question that you could ask yourself, even as I ask myself, as I serve God's people, am I being kind to them? This is also part of fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Again, you guys know this. Love, fruit of the Spirit's love. What's next? Joy, peace, patience. What's the next one? Kindness. Kindness. So it comes out as fruit of the Holy Spirit working through your life. When you start to see these things come out, this is why some that come to Christ, it's like, oh, I have more peace in my life. That's fruit of God at work. We can't bring that. It's a spiritual, supernatural thing, right? And it's a byproduct of God producing in and through you as a, like a tree. That fruit comes out, and it puts on display, right? Does a tree have to show off its fruit? No. It's like, hey, look at me. As you're walking by, it's like, is it shaking its leaves just so you see the fruit? You didn't pay attention to the fruit. It just has to display it. And notice, even in nature, the way God designs fruit, whether it's a tree, a shrub, even strawberries, it's this colorful, aromatic, beautiful fruit that gets put on display exterior-wise, and it catches your eye. All that, you got them. All right, fruit. So fruit of the Spirit, part of it, this kind of love as you, again, as you serve God's people, are we kind to them? I just put on a way of application for this. How can you apply this? God's going to give you opportunities to be kind to others as you serve Him. Hey, when you leave here today, you're going to find a lot of opportunities, aren't you? Like, should I be patient? Should I be kind? And you're like, no, nobody's watching. Ugh. But someone is watching, right? Who's watching? God, right? So what God's going to do is He's going to test each and every one of us, isn't He? Because He loves us. He's a loving Father. So this word for kind, it has the idea here of being useful. One thing that we can do while we're serving Him is praying, God, keep me useful to You. I remember hearing that from Pastor Chuck Smith, Sr., for years and years. He would pray that God would keep him useful in ministry. I'm like, man, that guy's been teaching the Bible for over 50 years. And still his prayers, God, keep me useful. And I can see why some of the ways for me, in a mini sort of way, is that we can go through challenges. God will test me, and the devil will tempt me. He does that, especially when you're involved in serving God publicly. You're going to get a lot more challenges and trials, aren't you? So the devil wants you to be useless for God in ministry, but God wants you and I to stay useful, and you need to be found useful. This is actually wrapped up in this word. It's translated as kind, but it has a connotation, the idea of being useful. So if you look at it like this, just in a real street sense, a practical sense, I might have to turn on the AC again. I don't know. It gets kind of hot in here quickly, right? It might help with the flies flying around. Think about this, though, in a real term, a real, like, street sense kind of way. If someone's not kind to you, it could be a business you go into. We see it all the time. I see it all the time in New York City. You have a lot of customers in stores. You have a lot of servicing going on, But put those two together. You don't have much customer service in New York City. Anybody realize that? That's why when you see a store in New York City that has good customer service, they stick out. Right? That's why Trader Joe's is like, wow. They got, because they're like, they're just good at customer service. But let's say you walk into a store and they're not kind. Okay, they don't have good customer service. Like, oh, that's easy to find. That's the store blah, blah, blah. That's the bodega down the street. You might look at that in a similar sense, like, they're not kind. They're not useful. Some people will go out of their way. I read a lot of reviews from various stores and even online products. Some people will go way out of their way, maybe even pay more money, simply because they get what is perceived as kindness or love or good customer service. Isn't that crazy to think? Whereas maybe the store across the street they won't go to, or the market down the block, or the one that's close to my house, whatever they put, they double sticker the meat. You look at that like, that should be illegal to do. Some of you guys know that, right? Like whenever you go to the meat and you see like a double sticker, the meat look kind of brown and says good for like five more days. Like, it don't look like it. They double sticker it. Yeah, that's why I gotta be careful about the store. The market, but Billy's Market, we call it. Anyhow, useful. You and I, in just a street level sense, a customer service way, you might call it customer service by being kind. Simply by being kind. I learned this also in retail. Do you know that there's a lot of stores with self-service checkout? It's not just saving money. You know what we find that means from a company to the employee or the company to the customers? It kind of says, we don't love you, stay away. Why? So that some people, especially post-COVID, they're like, I want to go shopping where I don't have to interact with anybody. No eye contact, no words, no hi, no bye, no nothing. I just stick the card in, give my money, and then I go, bam, I bail. And we got to be careful. So we're losing some of the human interaction in our life today. So as we serve God, as you're serving people, it could be at your job. It could be as you walk down the street, you get on the bus. Be kind to the MTA drivers, right? Got to be kind. All right, let's continue on. Just realize again, kindness is also fruit of the Holy Spirit working through our lives. I'm just going to cover these five and then we'll close. So on the third one now, love suffers long and is kind. And it says, love does not envy. So look at this word. I brought this out of the Bible study software so you could also see some synonyms. Does not envy. It also speaks of being jealous. To not be jealous. So the next time you're jealous, now look at the context here. The context. To the Corinthian church, they had spiritual gifts. That's chapter 12. They were messing up with them. Okay? And so they weren't serving God with love. And we're even learning about the spiritual gifts, like the eye saying to maybe the ear, or the nose to the foot, the hand to the leg. Like, don't be jealous of someone else that's in a different place in the body. Why? Because that's not love. You see the context now flowing? You got spiritual gifts. Look at the bigger picture, the unity of the body. And as you serve God with these spiritual gifts, serve with love. And part of this love, don't be envious. So the context really flows and makes sense. In other words, the person that's a mouth, don't be jealous. This used to be me. Like, I don't want to teach God. I'm better as an assistant. I'm really good as a computer geek. Did extremely well. Not just good, not just well, extremely well in the computer industry in Orange County, California, when I was there, working for Rockwell. Did really good, made a lot of money, got promoted pretty good. I wanted to do that. I thought, I'd make a better assistant. God, I think you got it wrong. I don't need a speaking gift. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. But he showed me that this is who I am in Christ. This is the gift that he's given me. But I used to be jealous of those kind of things. And then flip the script. I started to accept the task of pastoral ministry, not just teaching people the Bible, discipling them, answering Bible questions, trying to see how God would help that person, praying for them, helping individuals, marriages, and families. And I would get jealous of other people. It's like, I want to be able to serve you in just a nice, quiet way. Oh, okay, that's not the agape love of God. I need to not be envious, not be jealous. So the Christians in Corinth, I put this here in the notes, they seem to be jealous of others and their spiritual gifts. So Paul addresses that. Hey, you're just a member of the body of Christ. Be comfortable, be content being who you are in Christ along with those spiritual gifts. Serve him that way and do so in unity and love and celebrate the creativity that you have. So you and I, as we serve God's people, are we careful to not envy someone else's gifting, someone else's ministry roles? This is a challenge. Right? I'm going to go to a pastor's conference with a bunch of the guys. Seven of us are going to go down for Calvary Chapel Pastor's Conference at Calvary Philadelphia in a little while, like 7 days or so from now, or 8 days, I think we leave. And one of the things that I hate hearing, sometimes people ask, how many in your church? Like, however many God wants. You know, and then some people, they'll want to like exalt them, that person in their head and heart, maybe, oh, that's a big church, that guy pastors, it's a mega church or something like that. And we got to be careful not to be envious. That still happens in the body of Christ. I've hated that even from the time when I was sitting in the garage. Our church got birthed out of a garage, by the way. And 23 years ago, Pastor Lloyd Puglia over in Jersey, he invited me to come out to be with the pastors out there. And I'm like, there's no church. It's just me in a garage. And we're not even incorporated yet. He's like, you're one of us. Just, you know, come out. I'm like, okay. I remember telling him, I believe in God. I know who God is and who I am. And I believe he called me out here. And if you believe that God wants you to make us part of the Calvary Chapel affiliation, great. I'll just take it as that's from God. If not, I'm fine with it. I told him that. But still being able to fellowship with the others. And I hated that question. How many in your church? I just need one hand to count. We didn't have a church. It was a neat little Bible study at that time. But not to be envious. See, we could all fall into that trap. So as you and I serve God's people, be careful not to be envious of someone. You can be envious of someone like, oh, I like how Brandon plays guitar. Oh, I want to be like this. I like how Susan sings. I mean, I can understand that one. And praise God that you don't hear my singing. So she's the one singing. But you and I can apply this. As you serve God, focus on just being content with who you are in Christ. Celebrate the creativity that God brings. That's what God's pointing us to. The diversity. We need to celebrate that. Going on, this is 4th of 5 here. We're almost done. Just going to look at this, kind of park it here at verse 4. The next thing it says, love does not parade itself. Oh, so parade itself. This speaks of the sin of what? Pride, right? What's the middle letter of pride? I, selfishness, right? The first sin was committed, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people, if you question them, you go on the streets and you just do a quiz with people. You know, what was the first sin ever committed? Usually you'll get people saying who? Who did the first sin? Eve, or Adam and Eve, right? But the first sin was actually Lucifer, Satan, the devil. It's put in the Bible in Isaiah 14. It says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mounts of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So that was actually Lucifer. That was Satan. The first sin ever done was the sin of pride. And guess what he uses against people? Pride. Temptation for pride. If you give in to that temptation for pride, then it's now sin. So the Corinthian church, they were boasting. Don't parade yourself, it says here, right? It's just boasting, parading ourselves in front of others. So the Corinthian church, some were saying, and I put it up here, things like, I'm of Paul. And another group, oh, I'm of Apollos. Others are, oh, I'm of Peter. And some were even more elite. Oh, I'm of Jesus Christ. Like, where do you go from there? Oh, yeah, I don't know. Well, as you and I serve God's people, we got to be careful about parading ourselves in front of them. And again, we can all fall victim to that. So as we serve God, how can we apply this? Remain humble. Remain teachable. Okay? Doesn't parade itself. That's the agape love of God. If you're taking notes, another really neat thing to see in the book of Daniel, you've got someone, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was boasting. This is Daniel 9, verse 30. God was the one, even through prophecy, that put Nebuchadnezzar up as The only time that the entire planet was under one person's rule. Many people tried throughout the centuries. Hitler tried that. He failed. The Romans tried that through the Caesars. They failed. Great Britain tried to colonize the entire planet. They failed. Japan even. A lot of countries, a lot of people have done that. But the only time that the entire planet was under one head, one human rule, was Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And here's what it says in Daniel 9, verse 30. This is Nebuchadnezzar. He says, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and from the honor of my majesty?" And then an angelic watcher was there, and what did he do? He just judged him right away. As prophesied, God actually warned him, and it was like a year after the interpretation was given. And what happened? He was fellowshipping with the cows for how many years? 7 years. Okay, kind of grew mad. He's out there eating the grass. Imagine like a grown man who used to be the king. Like imagine the king of this land, Donald Trump or anybody, a king of any country, just going out and like eating the grass. Fellowship with the cows. No clothes on, hair is growing long, nails like, I think like eagle's claws, bird's claws. 7 years until he had his senses back, and then he humbled himself to see it is God that put me there. Hey, wherever you are in life, in society, at your job, even being here in this church, whatever your place in life, be okay with that. Be humble with that. Be content with that. And just acknowledge it's God that has put you there. Okay? And we got to be careful about serving God, even with spiritual gifts, that we don't parade ourselves. Look at me. Look at how brilliant I am. And God will say, no, you're not. He'll remind us. He reminds me of who I am and where he brought me from. I know who I am in Christ, but I remember where he put me from. He put me from the dunghill, like it says in the scriptures. Right? He takes you, as we might say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. That was me, the throwaway of the world. And I like reminding myself. Sometimes I forget. Forgive me, Lord. But it's good to remember that. Why? That we don't parade ourselves around. Okay, so remember to remain humble, remain teachable. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, lastly, last but not least, about this love, it says it's not puffed up. This love, this agape love, is not puffed up. Being puffed up, this is also a facet of the sin of pride. I show you here on the display. The Bible Dictionary, one of them, I circled here in the red, it means to inflate, okay? You know how it is. We used to say in the world, don't get a big head, bro. That can happen with any of us, right? That can happen even with us here in Calvary Chapel, to puff up. Let me just tell you, one of the things that becomes a challenge, even with us at Calvary Chapel, is we have Bible. Every church has Bibles, but we actually feed people and teach people the entire Bible, so you leave here not knowing, wow, what a beautiful story. Oh, what a great speech. But, wow, I learned about Jesus, and I learned the Bible itself, God's word, so that I can know him and know what he expects of me and how to serve him and walk with him. And what can happen there is we, myself included, we can get caught up in even the sin of pride. We can get puffed up. Why? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. We got to be careful of that. So, to be puffed up, it means to inflate. If you just say it in a real practical sense, again, having a big head. That's not love. That's not the agape love of God. Can you imagine Jesus walking around with the disciples? And like someone's like, please, Lord, if you will, please help me, heal me. And Jesus is like, why should I do that with you? I'm Messiah. Give me a break. He's not like that, right? But we can be like that at times. I'm guilty of that. I think we can all be guilty of that. So we need to remember, this is the agape love of God. As we serve one another, that's the context of chapter 13 here, let's not get puffed up. So it says, puff up, make proud, to inflate, blow up, to cause to swell up. That was how Nebuchadnezzar was, and I think that's how all of us can be if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? We all have to be this. So as we apply this, as you serve God, get discipled, you're going to know God's word more, but be careful as you do. I found that could be something that's a challenge for us, even in this church, even for my heart, and for Calvary Chapel as a whole. Because we're going to know God's Word. We're going to mature faster than others. But there's also a challenge that we might sit there and look at and mock others. They got the same Bible, but they're just not applying it, maybe. So the challenge, a test for my heart, for our heart, even in Calvary Chapel, this one or Calvary Chapels as a whole, is are we going to default to love, which edifies, or just, oh, I got the Bible, I got all this knowledge, and then now I got a big head and get puffed up. Make sense? We got to be careful of that. Let's all stand, please. I'm just going to close this with a word of prayer here. We got enough here. Hopefully you got enough spiritual food to chew on, so to speak. So I want to encourage you, as you serve God in various ways, some of you are inviters, just inviting people in. That's a form of serving God. Keep doing these things and keep serving God. Serve Him, though, with this agape love that He gives us. So that means you and I got to cry out to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus that He would empower us by His Spirit so that we can love Him back and love one another. We need that from Him. Amen? Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your holy word. And we ask, Lord, again, You are the Father of mercies. Lord, we thank You for being so merciful with us. And You're the God of all comfort. You tell us the Comforter is Your Spirit. Send the Comforter. He's also our teacher. He's the one that's going to train us for holiness. He's the one pointing out these things within our own hearts right now, even as You're doing that with me. So, Father, You also tell us if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. So we confess to You, Lord, that we fail these things. We all want to walk with You and serve You, but help us to do these things, even with the spiritual gifts You've given us, the creative gifts, the many, many gifts You've given to each of us. Help us to walk with You, but to pour out with Your love, God. That means we need to reach out and cry out to You and confess to You, we failed, we've sinned. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fill us again with Your Spirit and pour through us that we can love You back, and that we can love one another, even as You command us. I don't know how it works. We just know that it does work. And You teach us in Your Word that love comes from You through Jesus Christ, and we're to love one another, a new command You gave us, to love one another. And John even says Your commands, they're not hard to do. That's because we've been trying in our strength. That's what makes it hard. So empower us, God. Anoint us mightily through Your Spirit that we can love one another. Help us to do these things and even to walk these things out as we see these little facets, these great characteristics of Your agape love. We need more of You and less of us, like John the Baptist said. I must decrease and He must increase. Help us to do so, but help us to do it with Your power, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.